You're listening to the Revision Path Podcast, a weekly showcase of the world's Black graphic designers, web designers, and web developers. Through in-depth interviews, you'll learn about their work, their goals, and what inspires them as creative individuals. Here's your host, Maurice Cherry.
Welcome to the Revision Path Podcast. My name is Maurice Cherry. And before we get into this week's interview and, of course, talk about our sponsors, I want to just give you an update on South by Southwest and my Where Are the Black Designers presentation, how all that went. So first off, before I get into anything, thanks to AIGA, all the GoFundMe supporters, Cheryl D. Holmes Miller, Sarah Walker Betcher from A List Apart, and everyone who helped with not just providing information for the presentation, but also donated to help me get to South by Southwest on such short notice. Thanks to all of you. I think the presentation went well, even though it was very sparsely attended. None of the media that were present for other panels in the same track were present either. So overall, I think there were probably about 10 to 15 people there, just as a rough count. For those who were there that weren't asleep or charging their phones, they asked some really insightful questions. I hope to get that audio from South by Southwest soon. They did record the audio. They didn't do any video recording. But once I get that audio, I hope to share it with all of you. Once I get that, it should be, I think, next month or so. Hopefully that soon. I also managed to give the presentation to a smaller crowd at Sanders Wingo last Monday on the 16th. So thanks to Sanders Wingo. Thanks to Claudia for having me come out and speak to all of you. I had several interviews lined up to do in Austin. They pretty much all canceled on me or were no-shows, so there's that. I did manage to do one interview, which I will have coming up in April, so be on the lookout for that. Should be around the beginning of April. I took a few days off after coming back. My birthday was last Wednesday, so I kind of extended my little mini vacation on through the weekend, and that gave me some time to think about, you know, next steps, like where else I can give this talk that might have more of an impact, things like that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. So let's talk about our sponsors, MailChimp, Hover, and Creative Market. MailChimp is the premier email service provider for entrepreneurs and small businesses. Join more than 7 million people who use MailChimp to design and send 500 million emails every day. Sign up today for a free account at MailChimp.com. Need a new domain for your next project? Check out Hover. Each domain comes with free private domain registration, unlimited domain forwarding, and world-class customer support. Grab yourself a domain today and use the promo code SECONDYEAR and save 10% off your purchase. Creative Market sells graphics, fonts, themes, photos, and a whole lot more starting at only $2. They give away a new selection of free goods every Monday, and they've got bundle promotions every month. They actually just wrapped up their March Big Bundle last week. But if you're still looking for those free goods, head over to creativemarket.com, check those out. Now, let's get on with the show. This week, I talked with Anselmo Palembe, graphic designer and owner of Lupa Design in Stamford, Lincolnshire, England. Let's start the show. All right, so tell us who you are and what you do.
My name is Anselmo. I'm a Mozambican graphic designer. At the moment, I'm situated in the UK.
Where in the UK are you located?
I am located in Stamford. That's 1.5 hours driving from London. It's Stamford in Lincolnshire.
All right. And you're originally from Mozambique, so I want to go back all the way to Mozambique. I want to talk about that first. Where in Mozambique are you from?
From Mozambique, I'm from Maputo. I born in Maputo. Okay. I've been there almost all my life, and I decided to travel abroad.
Maputo's like a beach city, isn't it? Like it's right there on the coast?
Yeah.
It's the capital.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. You know, we're surrounded by the sea and Indian Ocean. It's just full of culture, color. It's just amazing place to be and to grow up.
How long were you there before you decided to move?
I've been in Maputo since I was like 25 years old. I left Maputo when I was 25 years old. And I just traveled to the South Atlantic Islands, and since then I've been out of Mozambique for a while.
When you were in Mozambique, were you also doing design there?
No, that was interesting. In Mozambique, I was doing another things. I was working a different industry. The design actually, I decided to do a design when I was in the UK because of my creativity. I've always been creative, but I tried actually to find something where I can use it as a job, but in the same way, I can still have my creativity on the side.
What were you doing in Mozambique, in Maputo specifically?
I was working in the company as just a general company, construction company, doing their business with another construction companies. And from there, I just decided I wanted to stop to do that. It's just to take a bait, and I travel abroad.
And now from Maputo, you went to a tiny island called St. Helena. Tell me about that.
Yeah, from Maputo, I actually went from Maputo to Sanction Island. It's just close to St. Helena Island. Sanction Island is after St. Helena Island. You take there about 7 to 2 days. The only way you can get there is by boat, where you take from Cape Town. So I traveled there, and I live in Sanction Island for like 2 years I was there.
What was it like there?
It's just amazing places. You know, I like those kind of places. Sanction Islands, the reality is just 900 people living there.
Oh, wow.
Tiny, tiny island. It's a British overseas territories where we have the American base and British base. And one of my jobs, I was working in America base, and I stayed there for 2 hours. But this is a beautiful place to live. Yeah.
So from Maputo to Ascension to St. Helena. So were you doing design in Ascension? Were you doing design in St. Helena? Like, when did you really start on this journey to becoming a designer?
Okay, that's interesting. When I went to Sanction Island first, what I did is I work in the rooting grounds in America base. I decided to go through, and I started to work in conservation in the Sanction Island, and I started to take the wildlife photography, where I managed there to publish my book. It's called The Mary, the Masked Booby. I stayed there for a while. And literally after I left Sanction Island to UK, I stayed there for 3 years to work. And I was asking myself what actually I wanted to do, which photography, I wanted to do art. So I just decided like, the best thing I could do is actual graphics, because I can use both of them. I can use photography and I can use art, and just to express my skills.
Now, when you were in St. Helena, is that when you decided to start your business?
Yeah. So what happened in St. Helena is I came to UK. I did my degree and I went back to St. Helena. I stayed there because I went with my family. And when I arrived there, I saw this massive gap in St. Helena, where no any other creative or graphic design studio in St. Helena. And so I opened. They had people that were doing their graphics, but not in the level I bring it into. So I started my company there from home, and I grew it. And I managed to have my own office, my own studio. I employed 2 people from the island, where one was doing illustrations and another girl was a graphics. And we taking off from there.
What was your business called?
My business calls Lupa Design Creative Studio.
All right. And what kind of services were you doing?
We were doing pretty much everything from windows displaying, from brand companies, from events or festival of running, festival of walking, from events, from conferences. We were doing like websites. We were doing pretty much, you know, the whole scenario of the whole things involved with graphics in any company. We were like involved in doing that. We were working with the government. We were working with the ONGs there. We were like all over.
And because that's such a small island, I would imagine you didn't really have a lot of competition in terms of other designers or other companies, right?
Yeah, we saying that and not saying that is very tricky, because we don't have so many competition. We had the competition on the side, but one of the things to me, the challenge I have, it was to try to educate that there's a good design is good to you. Good design, right? It can be great for your company, for your business, wherever you wanted to sell apples, or wherever you wanted to deal with you are in the big corporate companies. It's very important, the brand of your company. It take your company for the next level. Me arriving there, things with you seeing, around the island, even in the tourism office, the standard has they wanted to present themselves. It wasn't there, so I bring it into that to the island. So I started to like bring color in, you know, bring nice brandings and nice design into. So it was great because in one way people started to realize, wow, if you have amazing, if your company is presented like this, is more points to you. And not only that, I work with charity, you know, I work with disabled charity where I work for about 3 months trying to create something and create exhibitions with them where we could exhibit and give us places for 3 or 4 months so where we could sell their product. You know, it's a lot, I was involved in so many things there.
There's something interesting that you mentioned about how you said there's not a lot of competition, but you really sort of had to educate and bring people up to the level where they could appreciate sort of what design is. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
I feel like for freelancers or even for people that are like designers that are dealing with clients, that's always something that is a constant struggle. Like your client may never be on the same level or even close to the level that you are as it comes to appreciating design. So you have to educate them on this is what design is, this is what it does. What are some ways that you do that? Because I'm pretty sure that people that are listening would love to know.
For example, I give you a very simple example. When I arrived there, we had a company where they used to dealing with arts and crafts in the island. But the logo was presenting them. It didn't tell nothing about, didn't tell the story, didn't tell the story. This was about arts and crafts. So changing the brand of that company and changing the brand of so many companies in the island, bringing the logo, the brand guidelines to the next level, the whole thing. They realize they bring more clients to them. The company looks more appealing by doing that. So when you go through, you don't really have to talk to the clients. But many of my clients came after. It was because they saw it, the designs we were doing for other clients. And they say, wow, this is great. Your brand looks amazing. Your company looks amazing. Who did that? We would like this to be done to us. So like that, people surrounded this small place, people talk to each other. And they could see, because graphics is visual, everything great in your eye, you always want it.
So let's say you're approaching a new project with a client. Tell me, like, what is your creative workflow? How do you start with the client? Give me that process.
My first steps with a client is, first foremost, is listen, talk to the client. Don't be too aggressive, you know, listen what the client wants, because every person has something to give into the brand of the, what they wanted to do. So my first thing is bring it together, the client. We have a meeting. I talk to the client what they wanted to do, what they would like to be done. And they explain it to me. They want A and B and C, you know, different things they would like to have in their company, which type of colors and what they wanted to bring, what style they like it and all that. So what we used to do, we have a list where we make it. We talk into the client. We give some interview. And after we say, we will come back to you. And like that, I come with three samples for the client, where I started from there. And from those three samples, the client choose one, and I started to develop it from there. And I worked with client close into you know, the type of brand we're coming with.
So you present three samples. I know sometimes designers will just give one sample and say, this is what it is. But what's kind of the philosophy that you have behind presenting multiple samples like that?
Pretty much, you know, sometimes you find a client, so you meet the clients, they really stuck with their ideas. If you say, you selling apples, the brand should be like that, shouldn't be like you selling bananas. That's an example I can give it. So what I do exactly, I go into the client's mentality and I show it actually, more or less, what the client was thinking about, but I give the best option. So like that, the client look the both options and actually can see the option the client was thinking about is not better than the option the designer is giving to me. So like that, I already have the client on my hand to say, look, oh, listen, this is the option you were talking about, and this is the option you thought was the best for your company, was the best for your brand. But I'm showing to you here, you can see with your eyes, the best brand for your company is this one. So pretty much is a way of getting into the client and tell, this is the best way you can go ahead and been presenting your company without being so aggressive and say, no, your design is not good enough. Your thinking is not good enough. So that's why we're using this way. So, you know, you have to approach a client with more respect and with more calm and try to understand when you're dealing with them.
So now you've done business in the UK and you've also done business there on the island on St. Helena. Client-wise, I guess, as you're dealing with clients, you know, on a cultural level, what's been the difference between those two? Is there much of a difference?
Yeah, it is. For example, in St. Helena, I find some clients, they really don't have a clue about how important it is to good brand is good company, good brand is good birth of your business.
Right.
UK, pretty much because you know how it's UK. Everybody knows good brand is good birth of your business. Good brand is good. It will make you go far. So that was the difference. So in UK, I find people already know it. They just want a great word and great brand coming from you. But in St. Helena, I find that I have to explain people why you really want it. You have to have a good brand for your company.
So since you started Lupa Design, what have been like the three most important lessons that you've learned since starting your business?
Oh, since I started my business, the most three important lessons I learned was, first, is very important. You know how to adapt to every walks of life, you know, because you're dealing with so many people, different kinds of people. So you have to really know how to adapt. The second one is, it's amazing to me to know how places are different. You know, you're dealing with a person in UK, you're dealing with a person in America like you are, you're dealing with a person in St. Helena. That teach me a lot. And the third is, you know, you are your business. You are your business. So you have to act like you are the business. And so many levels. If you're doing business like this, you have to be part of the business. You are the business. So you have to be up there in front, you know, and acting like you're always 100% sharp to carry on with it.
What are your next steps of growth for Lupa Design?
I came back to UK. I'm very fortunate. Some of the clients still working with me on the islands. You know, I have a client from Tristan da Cunha. I'm just doing project now with him. It's Tristan da Cunha Conservation. I'm working here now in UK. While I'm dealing with the projects of my clients, I was very fortunate to have been doing. I'm working now doing projects in the NHS. But my real goals is, you know, just growing, make a loop of growing, and one of the these days is taking this company to my country, where is Mozambique, and it's just keep growing there. That's my aim game.
So tell me, what's a typical day like for you when you're working?
At the moment, I wake up, I'm going to my office. I have, at the moment, the projects I'm doing in NHS, I'm working with 15 to 10 projects in one time.
Oh, wow.
I'm dealing with that. This is my life. And what I do, I see which projects I have to start it with. So I carry on with the projects I have to do. So after the projects, it's a time to me to go for running or go to gym and relax, thinking about the next day where I have to pick up some new projects and just keep doing.
Tell me what your time was like at the University of Lincoln. That's where you graduated from, right?
Yeah.
What was your time like there?
On my class, it was great. You know, I had a lot of experience. This is me coming from Mozambique all the way, passing through all the South Atlantic, coming to UK. And
right.
You know, having to put my head deep into the water in UK universities was a great experience. You know, everything from a side, on the creative side, I already were creative. But how to channel those creative movements on you, that was the great thing I learned there with my lectures. And I was so fortunate to have great lectures, and I learned a lot, you know, and it was a great time. I had some challenges, but that's life, and that's you know, you just carry on.
What kind of challenges did you have?
It was a time when I told, like, this is the time, like, I should stop it or I should carry on. And but, you know, I just keep going and I just keep thinking and just thinking through the end. But it was great. I had brilliant lectures and I had a good workshops, you know, and we had amazing workshops with leading designers where and some artists where we used to go in. And yeah, I managed to do the degree.
So was it like challenges with motivation or what kind of other stuff did you... I'm trying to, I guess, sort of get to the root of it.
Like, yeah, I know you're trying. Yeah. It's just, what is Europe, you know? I was the only black guy studying. I was the only black guy on my class.
Okay.
Sometimes the class with 15 or 14 guys, one or two, they will try to be unpleasant. But, you know, those challenges you find in the life. That's what I'm talking about, yeah. But the great thing is I came out, and I came out well.
That's right. Yeah. But I think that, you know, that sort of thing that you're mentioning is, I feel, pretty common when it comes to black designers that might either be going to an art school or might be part of a design department. They may end up being that only person in their department of like the only person of color. So it's good, like you said, you're able to kind of overcome that challenge and still come out on top.
Yeah. That, you're right. Yeah, you know, it's and you know, especially in those, not even in the universities, but in the terms of job markets, you know, job.
Yeah.
Is you find out yourself, you're one in a million, and you have, what you have to do is just put your guns up and just keep going. And eventually you will get out there. And our work is great because it's nothing about you, what you say or what is visual. You know, if you're great designer, people want to work with you. If you're not, you will see because it's visual.
Yeah. What keeps you motivated and inspired?
I think it's where I come from. Mozambique is a great place. It's a place of struggle, but we always keep up and keep going. It's my family. You know, I have a beautiful son and I have a beautiful wife. They just take me through all my struggles and I go together with them wherever we have to challenge. In Mozambique, you know, Mozambique, we passed 25 years, if I'm not wrong, of civil war. Even if I wasn't deep into that, we know what is struggle. We know what is keep going. You know, we know what is stand up and just pull your head up and just dig in and keep going.
Is your family there in the UK too, or are they back in?
No, my family pretty much is all over. You know, my family, my father's in Mozambique. My mother lives in South Africa, and I'm here. I have cousins here. I have an auntie here. So, yeah, it's just all over.
Okay, all right. What's the design scene like in Stamford? Like you said, I know you're kind of right outside London. What's the design scene like? Do you find yourself going into London a lot for events and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's true. You know, I'm in a small town. It's about 20,000 people. The design you have here is more corporate. You find a little companies doing little jobs, you know, for other companies. But really, to me, to expire, to keep feeding myself, I have to go to London. You know, the three exhibitions I did at part of London Design Festival, the whole way was in London. Nothing was here in Stamford. So many times I find out myself, really, literally, if I wanted, everything is out there. Your design museum, all the galleries, all the, you know, you're going there, it's all full of inspirations and full of creativity and all that.
Now, talk to me about your exhibitions. As I was doing my research, I did, you know, I saw these exhibitions, but I saw that they weren't specifically for graphic design.
Yeah.
So tell me about that.
Yeah. You know, what you're doing now is amazing. This is great because many people don't realize that what you're doing. Your project is literally the same project as the exhibitions I did in London Design Festival. Is a group called AACDD. This is African and African Caribbean Design Diaspora, where they pick up architects, designers, artists, all walks of life, the creativity, but all coming from Caribbean or African descendants. And on the time of London Design Festival, they are part of London Design Festival. So they bring all the best designers, graphic artists and everything. They put it all together in one three-story building. And we all exhibited there. You have from talks, you have it from designs. And, you know, I was very fortunate from the first time coming out from university. They like my concept. I had this, we are all Africans, the concept. I did expressive typography, where since then, every time the exhibition's going on, and every year in London Design Festival, they invited me to go back and exhibited my work. And, you know, and it's great. It's great because it's, you there, you expose yourself, you expose your work, and you meet people, you're talking with another graphic designers, artists, architects, and all walks of life.
Is AACDD, is that a pretty big group?
Yeah, it's pretty big group. You know, they dealing, you know, just to you to be part of London Design Festival is one of the highlights of many, many groups. They are pretty big group. They've been established now for long, yeah.
Now, I saw some videos where you were also doing some pottery. Tell me about that. You do a little bit of everything.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember. Initially, I told you I always felt I was a creative person. Mm-hmm. And graphics is amazing. I love what I do. I love my job. I love my degree. And, it, you know, you end up in the terms of designing as a graphics. It's actually the product. It's the material you do with the logos. But, you know, growing up more experimenting myself and feelings, I have that feeling I needed some product. I need to touch something. I need to create something where I can touch it. I can feel it. So mm-hmm. I went through learning how to do a pottery. I went to the studio of Rob Beebe's amazing pottery. He teach me how to do a pottery in the wheel. And it's a learning curve. I'm still in learning, but I already do it. So in my free times, I have my own wheel pottery at home in my garage. Just go there, do it, pots and express. And this is another way I bring it together as graphics, because my last exhibition was about potteries. I was expressing and crying with the things what happened in France with Africans trying to go through the boats in Calais, where they end up putting them on the these compounds, and they can't get out and all suffering. So I express myself through that, and through that I put it together a series of pots in the London Design Festival. So I pretty much find in myself if when I'm doing pots, is very refreshing and very relaxed. It's my way of meditating.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of designers do that. They have some type of a physical ritual of some sort that they do that's different from, like, if they're doing digital design and stuff like that. There's one designer that I spoke with a few months ago. Her name is D'Angela Duff.
Yeah.
And she was telling me how, you know, she did a lot of websites and things in the 90s and the early 2000s and such.
Yeah.
But she quickly kind of found out, or quickly, I guess, discovered that a lot of the stuff that you're doing, like digital work, is very ephemeral. Like after 2 or 3 years, it's obsolete. It's gone.
Exactly.
There's a new version of it. So you don't really have that legacy that you can look back on and say, oh, I've done X, Y, Z, because the design is always changing.
Yeah.
The design is always being updated. Whereas if you are like doing something or creating something physical or tangible, it's like it's in its permanent state.
Yeah.
So that's really something you can look back and say, I did that.
Yeah, correct. And not only that, in terms of, you know, we're dealing with machines all the time.
You're
always in the screen, you know. To me, to be able to produce my work, I have to work with a screen. And, you know, to you to get out of that is just very rewarding. You know, it's very rewarding.
How would you kind of describe your personal design style? Do you have any people that influence your work? I know you sort of talked about current events do influence, like they influence your pottery.
Yeah, on the design, I have, you know, one of the things about my design work is I'm always inspired by big designers, not only graphic designers, but in the terms of architects, like, you know, you have David Ajaya from Ghana, you have Oswald Boutang is doing fashion, you know, those, you know, you have designers like that, you have Zizas Adid, she's an architect, you know, and I try to pick it up, you know, people like that, it's just to, you know, how they do it. But when I was in university, I really liked it. Milton Glaser's, you know, he's a great designer. I love New York. Yeah, I really like him. I like the way he inspired me, the work he was doing, you know. But I try to pick it up really what actually brings me up is a black designers, not only graphic designers, but they're in the fashion, they're in the architects, they're in, I look up to people like that, trying to say, I want to do that one day. I want to be in the level where people, you know, coming for me, just looking for my work and appreciate it and be in that level.
Are there a lot of black designers in the UK?
Yeah, there are. There are a lot of black designers in the UK and good designers. This is one of the things. This is one of the things I actually talk to people all the time. You know, we literally up to look to musicians all the time. We always look to musicians, you know, who is the great rapper, who is the this coming up. But it's a lot of black designers. They're doing great work here. And they up there, you know some, but literally it's guys like me then in this circle where we searched about them and we find out, wow, this guy is, you know, is black, is doing this, is amazing. It's like, this is his work, you know, this isn't this level. It's a lot of them. Yeah, it's a lot of them doing great things.
Who are some of those designers?
You're saying through has designers as a graphic designers or...
Yeah, we'll say, yeah, we can say like graphic, web designer. I mean, you know, I'm interested, of course, because I want to know who else I can talk to. But, you know, like who are some, I guess, like the big black design names that are there in the UK? Because here in the States, we don't know.
Yeah, you don't know any.
Not really. I mean, there are people that I've interviewed in the UK. Like I talked with John Daniel, who is, I think he's in London. I've talked with Brian Hollingsworth, but I mean, just some other names of people. I mean, I'm always, you know, wanting to know about who else is out there doing this kind of work.
Yeah, for example, you have one of the guys working for the Partners. Partners is I think is one of the design companies in London. In London, they are in New York. They're all over the place, and they're doing an amazing work. The reason why maybe people don't know to him, but a lot of people know in the terms of graphics, because he's working here and he's working in all over the place. So pretty much he's been doing, giving talks everywhere, like here, UK, London. His name, I just give it to you his name now. Just keep forgetting his name, but it's Opara. His surname is Opara.
Oh, Eddie Opara.
You know?
You know, everyone knows that guy.
Yeah. So everyone knows. So you saying in the UK, look, you look at the work of Eddie Opara and you look at what Eddie Opara is doing.
Yeah.
It's pretty much amazing, you know?
Yeah.
But things, designers like that, that's the kind of designers I look up. That's the kind of designers one day I'm inspired to be. Like Eddie Opara, you know, he's been doing amazing work. He's giving amazing talks. One time he was designed in Dublin, South Africa, giving talks there. I think he will give talk now to one of the conferences again. It's just his work, the way he works and, you know, his attitude. And, you know, those is kind of the designers we look up to. Yeah,
here, so funny you mentioned that. Because here in the U.S., when people are trying to think of black designers, his name is like always the first name that people think about. It's like, oh, we're trying to think of like a really like big black designer. And they're like, oh, Eddie Opara.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
His name is always the first that comes up.
The guy's all over the place.
So
the guy's all over the place. But, you know, he's amazing. He's just doing amazing work, you know, and he's all over there. But I'm sure it's so many others, you know, so many others there doing great work.
What's the last thing that you designed that was like just for fun? Like it wasn't for clients, it wasn't for any sort of corporate thing.
Okay. The last thing I designed wasn't for client, wasn't a corporate thing. Is I always do thinking to do expressive, like expressive typography or things like that. So I'm doing a project where I'm bringing together the concept of 1,000 words of Africa, this is a project I'm doing. This is a book I'm creating. And when I have my free time, I always go one page and I do something and I pick it up some ideas and I create them.
Now, when you say expressive typography, what do you mean by that?
We have ways on the graphic terms. Expressive typography is when you design it typographical, but with expressive meanings, as you wanted to express saying something, the sky is blue, but you don't literally write the sky is blue on it. You can write the sky is blue, but showing, you know, something sense or go or show the letter blue goes turning into blue or something like that. So that we call expressive typography.
Who's been the biggest influence on your professional life? Has there been like one person? Have you had like a mentor or anything like that?
In my professional life, the biggest influence I had is in the terms of graphics. It's you're talking about any artist, any graphic designer, or anybody, or somebody in my life.
Anybody, yeah, anybody.
Anybody, you know. I'm very lucky. My parents were amazing to me. They've always been truthful, you know, to saying, do what you wanted to do, do what you feel good about it, and do what you like to do. And that it just took me all over, you know, it took me all over.
What's been your favorite project to work on so far?
Oh, my favorite project, it was, you know, I talked to you before when I was in Santa Elena, is, you know, while I was working, I was doing my business there. So I find this charity called Shape. Shape, mm-hmm. the charity where they're dealing with disabled, mental disabled clients, where they bring them to the place, they teach them some craft, and they put them into work so they actually can work and have a normal life. And I talked to the boss of Shape, because what they do actually, they recycle paper, they create some things with bamboo, they use different things to do with the crafts they have. So I had a meeting and I just called the boss of Shape and the head of creativity there to talk to them. I had this idea of creating some sort of exhibition with the clients, with the disabled there, so we can do it. So what I did is I created with the recycled paper, with the clients and on Shape, we created like a bowls of recycled paper, lampshades, chairs. And we just did this exhibition on this gallery where the exhibition lost about 3 months. And that was the most time and program to raise money for that charity. By that time, I did it. And that was amazing. That was more fulfilling than me designing something for a client. Because, you know, it's one of the things, I don't know if you know, it's amazing working with mental disabled people. They give you that sense of love. They're more pure than you know, than many of people. So if they smile to you, if they say they love you, it's more deep, it's truthful. So that was one of the best projects I ever did in my life.
What's the best advice that someone has given you, I guess, regarding design?
Be individual. Be yourself, you know. Try to always just try to develop. Don't get stuck. Don't say, I did it, I use this program and I know it. Just every time try to learn. Learn more. Learn from anybody. Learn from everybody.
I like that what you said just there about, like, don't get stuck on one program. I feel like designers, particularly graphic and web designers, can get really hung up on the tools that they use.
Yeah.
And not the creative process.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That is true. It's true. It's just because of the market, the way it is. It's very harsh out there. You know. Every year comes some new tool. You have to look up, and you used to dealing with another tool, so you have to like try to adapt and find out about another tool. But you know, it's very nice if you at least you try to find out how other designers work and how the other tools work. Yeah.
Is there anyone out there that might have stopped you from realizing your full creative potential? Because it sounds like with what you do, it goes across so many different disciplines. You've worked in so many different places, from, you know, Mozambique to St. Helena to where you are now in the UK.
Mm. In the walks of life, you always find amazing people, and you always find people want to stop you what you wanted to do. But the main thing is just you carry on and go. And in work environment, if you do well, you will have a great friend. If you do well, you will have enemies too. In the terms of literally find somebody wanted to stop me what I'm doing, I can say yeah, but it doesn't affect me. I am what I am, you know. And I don't. So if you are what you are, you will do it. You will carry on.
Would you say that you're satisfied creatively?
No, not at all. You know, I'm a small fish in a big pond, very small fish, you know, but I don't know if you can feel it. The sense what takes me is this drive I have, you know, this drive I have about what I do. That's what takes me on. But I'm a very small fish in a big pond. You know, I'm learning every day. I just wanted to learn more and I wanted to create more. And I'm just excited about what I do.
Where do you see yourself in like the next 5 years or so? Earlier, you spoke about kind of wanting to take your business back to Mozambique, or take your talents and your skills back to Mozambique.
Yeah, in 5 years' time, I see myself back in Mozambique with my company, you know, employing people, doing what I like to do, and it's just keep developing.
So one question that I have, and I don't know if I asked this earlier, but design-wise, what represents Mozambique? Because from here in the United States, when people think about Africa, they think about Africa as a whole. They don't really consider they don't consider too much individual countries outside of, say, South Africa, Nigeria, Egypt, you know, maybe Somalia or Kenya or something like that. But like, what represents to you, like if you had to do a design that really represented your country, or even that just represented Maputo, what design-wise does that look like?
You know, it's true what you're saying about people. You in America, you Americans just think country, Africa has the whole country. But Africa is amazing continent, different colors, different language. Only on my country, we have about so many dialects, you know, more than 10 dialects in my country. You know, we always grow up speaking two languages. One is Portuguese with your own dialect.
Yeah, Portuguese is Mozambique's official language.
Yeah, Portuguese is Mozambique's official language, but we have our dialect. I am Changana, you know. I speak Changana, and I speak Portuguese. In Mozambique, in the terms of when you ask me what actual I will, if you're coming of some sort of designing in Mozambique, what I will represent my country?
Yeah, like if you had to create, like say the government in Maputo.
Yeah.
Commissioned you to do a design that represents like the essence of Mozambique or the essence of Maputo, what would that look like?
Oh man, that day is amazing, you know, because it's so colorful. It's Maputo is one of the greatest capitals in Africa, one of the greatest capitals, you know. It would be so colorful in the terms of me try to represent my, you know, my province, my Maputo. But literally, you know, we have amazing artists in Mozambique, amazing artists. One of the greatest artists we have, you already died, Cosma Langatana. And we have so many others doing amazing art there in terms of sculpture, you know, paintings and all that. It's so many creativity, arts and crafts in Maputo. It is all over the place. We have markets all over the place. We have. So to me, to come up with something, and if you really want to understand about something, just listen the music of Bob James and David Sambord, Maputo, calls Maputo. It's a jazz. Just listen. You will see how, you know, it's a province full of color. From top to bottom, the whole Mozambique is just flourish with color. You know, we are 360 degrees full of sun, you know, all year round. A lot of vibe going on, you know, like any other African country. There's a lot of things going on, you know. You find the people enjoying themselves. You find the people creating all the time to live. Other people created just because they like to be creative. But one thing you will represent, it will be a bubble full of color, like colorful bubble.
All right. Well, just to kind of wrap things up, where can our audience find out more about you online? Where can they follow you?
You know, I have my on website, the website of the business I have is called www.lupadesign.co. That's where you can see about the corporate side. They do the work, and you can see a little bit about in the blog the exhibitions I've been doing in the London Design Festival, and just see about a little bit about my work.
All right, sounds good. And Selmo, thank you so much for taking time out of your day for speaking with me. I feel like I really got a great sense of not just, you know, the work that you do, but also it's almost like this tapestry of like the work that you do and your culture and everything from Mozambique to your work in St. Helena to what you're doing in the UK. I really got this big, broad sense of the passion that you bring to your work. Yeah. As it relates to design. So really, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
Hey, man, was amazing talking to you. I'm very happy. You know, it's just you to see what technology can do. You up there, all cold, which part of state you are, I don't know. You know, you're very cold, I'm here. You know, but this conversation was one of the best I had. Thank you very much.
And that's it for this week. Big thanks to Anselmo Palembe, and thanks to you for listening. You can find out more about Lupa Design and Anselmo's work through the links in the show notes at revisionpath.com.
Wow.
Thanks as always to our sponsors, MailChimp, Hover, and Creative Market. When it comes to email marketing, MailChimp makes it extremely simple. They have great reporting and autoresponder features, and you can send 12,000 emails to 2,000 subscribers for free. No contracts and no credit card required. Check them out at MailChimp.com. Hover's the best way to buy and manage domain names, and they give you exactly what you need to get the job done. Get yourself a new domain or transfer your current domains to Hover and save 10% off your first purchase by using the promo code SECONDYEAR at checkout. And lastly, there's Creative Market, a marketplace that sells beautiful, ready-to-use design content from thousands of independent creators around the globe. Head over to creativemarket.com and pick up those 6 free goods that are available for free every Monday. This episode was edited by RJ Basilio and produced by me, Maurice Cherry. Our intro is by Music Man Dre with intro audio by Yellow Speaker. The outro audio, They See Me Growing, is courtesy of Jimmy Square. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, leave a rating and a review. It really helps us get new listeners, helps sort of bump our show up in the rankings. I'll even read your review right here on the show. Revision Path is a 318 Media project. If you like the work we're doing with the podcast and the website, then visit revisionpath.com/donate and let us know. Leave a tip in our tip jar, sponsor an upcoming episode, or join at the $5 fist bump level to show your ongoing support. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.